It's time for some Monday morning quarterbacking here on Newstalk 1400 DWS. You can reach us at 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line at 351-5357. Or you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Now, here are the Monday morning quarterbacks, Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate.
And good morning and welcome to our Monday morning quarterback program. We'll be here until 11 o'clock. We'll be taking a look at all the things that happened over the weekend and look at the week ahead in basketball, volleyball, NFL, NBA, who knows what else. But Mr. Tate, everybody in that game in Vegas was in a foul mood, so to speak, were they not? Especially when it was over.
Well, we thought the worst foul situation we ever saw, I think we all agree, was 2001 in the game against Arizona in the region, in the regional in San Antonio, and that was 36 fouls. They equaled it. And
We couldn't have gotten one more foul and had a new record.
Well, that's right. But there's something – this team's been fouling a lot all along. Mm-hmm. They started out the season with 20-plus fouls game after game, or several games at least, and they're averaging well over 20. I'm not sure if it's a new style of being aggressive. They're extremely aggressive. I mean, I will say this about the team, just in general. They're taking on the personality – of the head coach, Brad Underwood. He's very aggressive, and they are and the problem is that they haven't been able to avoid the ticky-tack fouls, particularly in the backcourt, that, you know, I think they're trying to cut off passing lanes and trying to be over-aggressive on the wings, and that makes it very hard to stop the dribbler from the top if you don't get help.
Yeah, I personally have no problem if guys are fighting for a rebound and you get a foul call on you, or you somebody is driving in and you're trying to stop his shot and they call a foul, which they seem to be doing a lot of that. But it's those in the backcourt that bother you the most. I mean, two guys in the backcourt, a guy with the ball and another guy there, nobody else around, miles from the basket on the other end, and the guy's reaching in.
Mm-hmm.
And those just kill you.
Well, there's been a lot of turnovers on both sides, turnovers and fouls, because of the style that the teams are playing. The last game against Austin Peay, Illinois had 15 balls stolen from them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a record or not. I couldn't find that. But do you remember any game where there are 15 steals? I mean, turnovers are one thing, but steals are another. And 25 turnovers and 15 steals in the Austin Peay game, then turn around and have 36 fouls in the game at UNLV, and you just begin to wonder what's going on. Is that that's too many mistakes, too many stoppages in play, you might say.
So we make 18 free throws out of 22. They make 33 out of 48 in a 9-point game or 7-point game. So
that was the decision. In fact, I keep going back to the Austin Peay game. Illinois outscored Austin Peay 14-1 on free throws in the last 10 minutes. Free throws win games. There's no question about it, particularly when you're not shooting baskets very well and not making jumpers. But free throws are another story, and I think UNLV clearly won that game with free throws.
Any word on LaRon Black this morning? It's kind of a shock to see him come out with his arm in a sling, but Brian Barnard said that he did not have the sling on the plane and seemed to be moving around all right. And that, of course, I assume he's getting evaluated today.
Yeah, I got a message from Kent Brown that said that they don't have an official statement at this point. They might have it before we go off the air. I don't know. But he's trying to find out also. And the only thing I would say is that it's the opposite arm from the one he had the surgery on the elbow, you remember, right at the beginning of the season, where we were afraid he was going to miss some games, but he didn't. But I don't know. I mean, it's pure speculation on exactly what the problem is, but it is the opposite arm.
We don't know if it's the shoulder or the mm-hmm. elbow or what, do we?
Nope.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. We're at 356-9397. Our Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. So did you make it through the game?
Yeah, I did, and I was surprised I didn't get real sleepy. The game kept me interested. I guess if I'd laid down on the couch and watched the game, I'd have probably gone to sleep. But I was up and moving around a little bit and keeping score, you know, myself. So I was engaged. I felt it yesterday, though.
So I was going to say you slept all day yesterday.
Well, about 4 o'clock when I was watching TV. I was starting to feel a little sleepy, and so I started moving around and had a good supper, and then later on I went to bed early.
Right, 356-9397, and Alan is first up today. Hello, Alan.
Morning, guys. I tried to stay up. I just was still on the radio until it got close, and then I made myself get up and watch it almost 1:30 in the morning. But by that time, it's too late.
Brian just said he signed off at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. So it was only about 3 minutes left in the game when I finally got up. Might as well get up to see the end of it. But anyway, I thought we played hard. UNLV is a lot faster and quicker than we are. And they've got a big guy that just tore us up. And that is the difference between UNLV and Illinois. They got a big guy that's really good, and we don't. And I think that's the way it's going to continue to be. I did see one good thing. Mark Smith finally had a good game. But I don't know. We just need a big guy so bad. It's very noticeable.
Yep. That's why they're recruiting hard for a big man right now, even as we speak. They're trying to get a big man now. For next season, of course.
It wouldn't hurt that, too.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. You saw we had two last year, and Maverick Morgan wound playing a lot because the other guy got hurt.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt that, too. But we don't have any, and it's just killing us right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough season because of that.
Well,
I think we've known that all along.
Let's hope that Black is able to play. We're really in trouble without that.
Yeah, he gives you a little physicality in there, and he is a tough rebounder.
And he's a good shooter. He's a good turnaround, face-up shooter within 10, 15 feet of the basket.
We still stayed pretty close in spite of him getting hurt, which is, I thought that was a good sign. But UNLV just looked faster and quicker than us overall.
Well, Mooring had an incredible game. He goes into the game averaging 14 points a game and doubles it. You know, he hit everything. I mean, he was terrific.
Yep.
I wasn't aware of him, I guess.
And the three-pointers down the stretch just killed us, even though we was trying to match him. But all of a sudden, they started hitting a three-pointer, and that was the ball game, pretty much.
Yeah, I think they only had one the first half. And then and then all of a sudden, they opened up in the second half.
That's all I got, guys.
All right, good to talk to you. Appreciate it. Nice crowd there, a lot of orange, evidently. So we'll take a quick break here. Mr. Tate looks like he's bailing out on me here for a minute, so this would be a good time to take a commercial break, and we'll come back right after that. Welcome back to our Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here. We're at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling and text line is 351-5357. And a question here. I don't know what they're talking about. It says, what is columning? Reference to the Purdue game this weekend. Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
The Purdue game this weekend. I don't know who's Purdue playing this weekend.
I don't know. This is the stupid players I have seen watching, most stupid players I have seen watching Illinois basketball since 1967. Don't they know what a foul is? I have seen a lot of bad Illinois basketball. And that's the two texts in. Not many people wanting to talk about this game. There is another game coming up on Wednesday night, Longwood, which promises to be quite a bit easier than some of the teams we've played here. At least their record would indicate that. Volleyball is down to the Final Four. There was kind of an interesting quote that Kevin Hambly was interviewed after Stanford won the game to get into the Final Four. They asked him about, the expectations at Stanford coming back with a team that's had won the national championship the year before. And he said, when I first arrived at Stanford, they took me on a little tour and they started showing me the trophy room. And I kept looking and looking. And finally, I turned to somebody and I said, where are the runner-up trophies? There weren't any. These were all national championship trophies. And sure enough, the women's soccer team won the national championship. And yesterday, the men's soccer team won the national championship. And Stanford might win the volleyball, playing some good teams there, obviously. But that's one of those teams where you, at the end of the season, you put all the sports together, and they have a lot more sports than some schools do, including Illinois. And you put them all together and mark them all up, they're usually right at the top of the list. But anyway, the Thursday will be the next volleyball. The teams are Penn State and Nebraska. So Penn State will have reached, if they can beat Nebraska, will have reached the final by beating two Big Ten teams. And they beat Michigan State, and now they play Nebraska in Kansas City, I believe it is, followed by Stanford and Florida. And that the winners will be playing on Saturday. And the final four seeds playing are 1, 2, 3, and 5. Two teams from the Big Ten, one each from the Pac-10 and the SEC. But I watched a lot of that on Saturday, the regional championships, and I'm telling you, there's something always happening in volleyball. It's kind of interesting to watch because every time somebody serves the ball, something will happen. Somebody will score.
That's right. They changed that a few years ago and really changed the game, didn't they?
Yeah, didn't they? And then you...
Jim, do you think that just take basketball, baseball, football, all the sports, do you think that the winners are more likely to, the favorites are more likely to be winners? I mean, you just cited 1, 2, 3, and 5 are in there. I don't think that happens in basketball. I mean, maybe, I don't think it happens that way. There's always an upset team in there. And baseball is totally unpredictable. Now, football, I don't know if that's more unpredictable or not.
I don't know. This year we wound up with four teams that didn't surprise anybody that
no,
they're in there.
Didn't surprise anybody. If you look down 5, 6, 7, Ohio State's number 5, the teams that were contending were basically the same teams that we see year after year. Now, you're going to find an exception once in a while. I'm sure in volleyball you're going to find an exception once in a while. But that's very interesting when you say that 1, 2, 3, and 5 all advance.
And there was a lot of conversation about whether Nebraska should be a 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed them by going down and beating Kentucky, which was the number 4 team. And, of course, you get 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you play your home games all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
At your place, and that makes a big, big difference.
No, that's a big advantage.
Rob is next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, good morning. You guys were speaking earlier about Coach Underwood concern about his team playing soft. And I was thinking about that Maryland game. And it used to be once upon a time, if the guard took the ball into the paint, there was usually a price to pay by a hard foul. And I can't tell you the number of times I saw Cowan go into the paint in that second half. And not only did they not foul him, I mean, they didn't even attempt to foul him. Now, I'm just curious if things changed, that they don't do that anymore, or is that just, I don't know, is it me? Used to be they discouraged the guard going into the paint.
Yeah, that guy was pretty clever with the ball, for one thing. But I think you're right. That used to be a kind of a badge of honor, didn't it, that you wouldn't let a guy make a layup?
That's what I thought, let alone maybe 8 or 10 in a row.
You can't give up layups. Yeah. You got to stop it. But it takes two centers to do that. I mean, you know, a center's going to foul a lot if you're going to reject shots. I mean, just the fact that have a guy like McCoy in there is going to discourage guys from taking the shot. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're having a scouting report before the game, what are you going to say? McCoy's in there. He's 7 feet tall. He can jump. He can block shots. When you get in there, be alert to the fact that you may have to pass it out.
Right.
And I don't know. I think each case is different. Cowan just had a heck of a night. I mean,
he was definitely a difference maker.
Well, yeah, his out shooting was as good as his drives. And he set people up, too. He was terrific.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Robbie. We'll take a quick break here, Mr. Bond. We're coming right back at 356-9397. Here is one for Lauren. Since I know the shooting took away from some of the Champaign and Danville game the other night, but didn't you think that was a great game between two good teams? I saw that Danville beat Chicago Orr yesterday, and Moore had 35.
Moore's really good.
I thought that Finke was a little better than Moore the other night.
Well, Finke did a good job passing, and he did a good job rebounding, and, of course, he scored 29 points. He had a terrific game, and it was a great game until the last 3 minutes, Jim. There's just no way to end a basketball game anymore without a lot of fouls, intentional fouls, technical fouls. Danville had 3 technical fouls. There was a lot of feeling, emotions going haywire late in that ball game. But if you would take the first 3.5 quarters, I thought it was a terrific basketball game between two really good teams. Orr's really good, so if Danville beat Orr, that's a real good victory for him. And I mean Moore can play. And he's going to Drake, and he'll play at Drake. He's really good. He's quick. He's got a good 3-point shooter. He's terrific on drives. He's got it all.
Let's go to John. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Jimmy and Lauren. I think that's sad that happened at a high school game, the shooting, and it's just terrible things like that are going on. But all we can do is just pray and hopefully things turn around. But I like what the coach doing for U of I, Carl. And I don't think they're really soft. I think he's just trying to get them to play as a team. Because right now, everybody's playing as individuals. And once they play as a team, I think they're going to turn it around. But they fought the other night, and they didn't give up.
Well, I think that's right. That's what we've been saying. I thought they played really hard. I mean, regardless of what Underwood said about them, I think as the game went along, they showed a lot of fight. But not maybe the smarts that they need in terms of avoiding some of those fouls. 36 fouls is an incredible number. It's an all-time Illinois record of the thousands of games that they've played. That's the most fouls they've made. Now, they also made 36 in the game against Arizona in 2001, a game that we remember, because that was a Big Ten championship team. They certainly weren't soft. But the most fouls in any game in the Assembly Hall and the State Farm Center is 33. So that's 3 more fouls than they've ever made at home. Ever.
Okay, well, you guys take care. Have a good day.
Yeah.
No, thank you, John. I want to remind you that we're 2 days away from the annual Carl Salvation Army Toy Collection Drive. The event is starting at 7 a.m., this year, it will be at the Carl Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Facility located on South 1st and Windsor in Champaign. It's very simple. We need you to take a few minutes out of your busy schedule. On Wednesday, drop off a couple of new toys for children birth through age 12, or maybe a monetary donation so the Salvation Army can purchase toys. We'll be collecting the toys from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. So thank you very much in advance for your help this Wednesday. We're at 356-9397. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. In the NFL, the Bears got a big win over the Bengals, 33-7. Steelers won a thriller over Baltimore last night, 39-38. And I'm learning new rules in the NBA all the time. There was a play last night that ended the game. The quarterback for Baltimore got tackled. He fumbled the ball and went out of bounds. They brought the ball back into play and placed the ball down and immediately started the clock. And there were 2 or 3 seconds left on the clock. And so they never got another playoff. I don't know what they would have done anyway. They were a long way from out of a field goal range. And it would have been a Hail Mary or something. But didn't get the opportunity. And it was a 39-38, the Steelers. And it I believe they won their division championship with that victory. Orville is next. Hi, Orville.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we're just hanging, man. That's all we do, hanging here.
Come body surfing after a while?
Yeah, we're thinking
think
about
so,
it.
I think so.
Hey, I'd like to know, whatever happened to Darren Williams? Is he still on somebody's roster?
No, he wasn't picked up by anyone this year. He's out of the NBA.
Okay, that'll disappoint my wife, but she wanted to know, so
yep.
You guys have a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leonard had a good game with Portland yesterday. He had 10 points. Looks like he was starting. At least he's one of the first five names in the box score. That's the only way I would know that. But so we got a couple guys in the NBA that are hanging in there.
In the injury.
He had 12 points, by the way, Jim. I'm sorry. He had 12 for Portland in a 117 to 1. They lost to Houston 124 to 117. I said 10. He had 12.
Yeah. I had mentioned already that Brandon had 10 in the Spurs win 104 to 101 over the
right.
Suns. We're waiting to get the word on Black. Injuries are a big part of this game or any game. And the Wisconsin Badgers have two guards that are out indefinitely with injuries. This kind of depletes the backcourt on a team that already was struggling to score. Dimitric Trice and Kobe King are out. Trice will have injury on his right foot today, and King has a knee injury.
Before you go on, is this the year that Wisconsin doesn't finish in the top four in the Big Ten after 18 or 20 years of it? Is this the year, Jim?
It might be.
I think it is, but I've said it before and been wrong.
They've got one terrific player and not much else.
Yep, that's exactly right. Davison had a good game for him the other day, but you know, they're really hurting.
The Badgers are 4-6. They're off to a tough start with four new starters surrounding Ethan Happ. Their rotation relies heavily on freshmen, and that includes guard Brad Davison, who has been playing through a left shoulder injury. So the Badgers have all kinds of injuries going on. Let's take a break, Mr. Baum, before the news coming up here at 10 o'clock this morning. Welcome back to hour number two of our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here. Here's how you get on. 356-9397 is our phone number. And the Castle Heating and the Cooling text line is 351-5357. We'd like to hear from you today about what you think about some of the things going on with regard, in particular with Illini sports or with others as well. Just talking earlier about Duke and Kansas getting beat, and some very interesting things in a couple of stories here, Lauren. Jeff Goodman, writing for the ESPN Insider, said, after Saturday's loss, star freshman Marvin Bagley had his head buried in his hands in disbelief. On the opposite side of the room, the senior, Grayson Allen, was explaining how his message to his young teammates about the chances the Duke could lose to anyone, that that message would no longer ring hollow. In tune with his veteran captain, Krzyzewski also was not shocked by his team's loss to Boston College, 89-84, a team that has won a grand total of 6 ACC games in the last 3 seasons. Krzyzewski said, we've played 12 games, we're young, we're talented, but we're not deep. We're big. That's a different dynamic, and how you have to play defense. Welcome to the world of one and done, Coach K.
Coach K says they're not deep. No Duke team has ever been deep. He doesn't play that many players. You can't get good at Duke off the bench because you don't get off the bench.
In this world in which there is no shortage of ups and downs, there was a win over Michigan State and Chicago, lackluster starts in Portland, followed by dominant second-half runs against Portland State, Florida, and Texas, and yet a come-from-behind win at Indiana.
What were the what were those numbers on the three-point shots by Boston College? It was incredible against Duke.
Yeah, it's I think it's in this same story. I got a 15 out of 26.
That'll do it, Jim. That will do it.
After multiple close calls and the latest performance, one in which Duke allowed Boston College to shoot 15 of 26 from beyond the arc, it's safe to say that the Blue Devils are hardly a lock to be a Final Four team. We put up 87 points. I don't think we played well on offense at all, Allen said, and we can't give up 80. It's got to be a commitment on the defensive end, something that we've got to figure out.
So what you just told me, I think, is they scored 45 points on 26 shots. If you took 26 two-point shots, most you could get is 52, right? They got 45 on 15 on 20. Let's see, 15 made baskets, three pointers. Boy, those three pointers add up so fast. I mean, it just changes all the games. I'm interested in everybody, you know. And I don't doubt that Smith played much better the other night. What if he hadn't hit his threes? Would you say the same thing? I mean, he really played good, right? Well, what if he'd missed those long threes? Those they were 6 feet beyond the arc.
Well, the same thing is true of somebody that may have played just a lousy defensive game, did everything wrong, mm-hmm. and that was the night that he made 5 out of 5 threes. Everybody said, wow,
he had a great game.
Well. Everybody but the coach.
That's right. Well, I mean, if you analyze it, you have to separate shooting and the ability to make shots from way outside from the rest of the play. And that's why Underwood has played DeMonte Williams so much. It didn't have anything to do with shooting. He just plays well. He's a good player. Now he's not a scorer yet. I think he can be, but he isn't yet. But he does things defensively and offensively and moving the ball and all those things. He just seems to have a knack. He rebounds.
How many steals he has in games or knockaways. He knocks balls away.
He's got long arms, doesn't he?
And at Kansas, listen to this number. Since the Washington game counts as a home game for Kansas, there are a few stats that come into play if they played Washington in Kansas City. According to ESPN stats and information, Kansas hasn't lost consecutive home games under Bill Self before this week. Never. In fact, the last time it happened was in February of 1989 in Roy Williams' first season as a Kansas coach.
Oh, my goodness.
So go back to 1989, they lost two in a row. The Jayhawks had never lost consecutive home games as a ranked team. In other words, this isn't a normal occurrence for Self in Kansas. It also comes on the heels of a stellar 7-0 start to the season. Kansas severely lacks front court depth, and they miss the guys that graduated. That is for sure. The Jayhawks are ranked number 349 in free throw shooting.
349 out of 351?
That's what it says. They're not getting the ball inside since there's only one interior option. They're not attacking the rim. And two losses this week, Kansas shot a total of 17 free throws. For comparison, Colin Sexton and Alonzo Trier shot 16 apiece in Saturday night's Alabama-Arizona game. The Jayhawks ranked number 349 in free throw rate. A lot of this comes from toughness, and Self is still looking for replacements for Frank Mason and Joyce Jackson, last year's stars. Well, too bad. Everybody's got their problems.
Yeah, everybody's got them in December.
But Michigan State's going to have to be number one, right? I mean,
oh, I think so, and I think they might be the best team. Defensively, could you argue that they're the best team in the country defensively? I mean, since that first game, they have just absolutely stopped people, and they've got rim defenders. They've got people that are – Winston is a tremendous point guard and quick on the outside. By the way, they had a guy, Lou Rawls-Nairn, who Izzo has been talking about for several years and how good he is. He's not even playing because they've got five better players. I mean, they've got better players at the point and at the guard positions than Nairn is. I've never figured why they were so high on Nairn, except I think you always talk up the guy that isn't quite good enough just to give him confidence, right?
Well, if he was at Illinois, he'd be playing at least half the time. Along with eight other guys.
Yeah, I suppose.
But
Michigan State, they deserve number one. I agree with you. And they are experienced. That's what happens when guys return who could go pro. You'll find that. I mean, if guys, teams are affected by who turns pro.
Yeah, the biggie, of course, is Bridges coming back.
Yes, sir.
It's 10:19. We're at 356-9397. You know, from trimming the tree to shopping for that perfect gift, the holidays are busy. Simplify your life and your finances with convenient online and mobile banking solutions from Busey. Busey Mobile allows you to bank the way you live electronically. With the Busey Mobile app, you can view balances right on the spot, transfer funds to cover everyone on your holiday list, find the nearest ATM for last-minute gifts, and deposit your holiday check from Grandma. Busey Online services include Busey eBank. There you can track your holiday spending online. E-statements. Receive your monthly bank statements electronically and stay on budget. And Busey Bill Payment. See and pay all of your holiday bills online. No more checks to write, no more postage to buy. Online and mobile banking is convenient, allowing you to access your accounts anytime, anywhere. Time saving from depositing checks to paying your bills. Safe and secure with the highest levels of security, encryption, and firewalls. Enjoy the gift of convenience from Busey. Download their free mobile app and iPhone and Android devices, or utilize their online services today. Simplify your life and your finances during the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. Download the Busey mobile app or visit Busey.com to register for online banking. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY for details. Well, Mr. Tate, you wrote a column the other day about it's either not a good time to be an Illinois fan or...
Well, it's a tough time.
Tough time, okay. Yeah. Well, you may elaborate on that if you care to.
Well, you know, I think football is just the number one sport. I mean, that's the one that draws the most fans for a game. And I think it's disappointing that that the team has not done better. They're on a 10-game losing streak, and I think that's the fifth time we've had an extended losing streak in the last, I don't know how many years, several decades. And those losing streaks chase fans away, Jim, and that's the tough part. It's just hard to and the weather changes toward the end of the season. You're losing games. It's hard to go out there and watch the games when there's not much chance of winning. And, you know, the basketball team hasn't made at very minimum, we expect to make the NCAA tournament, and that hasn't been happening. I thought volleyball has stayed, certainly has rallied this year, but last year they didn't make the tournament. And the baseball team's had a tough time since that great season a couple years ago. I think they'll be much better this year. There's a lot of things that have been happening have made it tough to be an Illini fan. And then, of course, there's always the ongoing thing with Chief Alani Wick, where a lot of people just feel very strongly in a positive way about Chief Alani Wick. And, of course, he's gone and he's not coming back. And there's just a lot of reasons to be – and that leads me around to the comments by Josh Whitman that we've got to keep the faith. I mean, and you do. You can't give up, but it's tough right now.
We've talked about this before when people bring up various topics such as the Chief Alani Wick or the mascot and all those kinds of things. And I've said before, and I think this is true, that winning 7 or 8 football games would clear that up.
Wouldn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't say that people would forget it. There'd be some people that would still want to talk about it, but everybody would be happy again. The seats at the Memorial Stadium would be filled with Illini fans. We'd all be having a good time. There'd be a lot of tail graters out there. We don't need the students who may not have been around here for very long and maybe don't have a clear picture of what they're talking about even. When they say, we need a mascot for the students to rally around. No. What we need is a winning football team, and they will rally.
You bet. That's exactly right.
It's not all these.
But the other thing you got to remember, when you have been handed what amounts to a death penalty, which Illinois got with Beckman in terms of recruiting, when all those people leave and you have all those junior college guys that didn't turn out, and you only have 15 guys in a recruiting class, which will be our senior class next year, and many of them are gone. Several of them are gone. You've got a situation where it's going to take years. We only had roughly 75 or 76 players on the squad this year. They're trying to build it back up to 85. They're trying to get to a point where they have the depth and the quality that they need, and that at the very least takes 3 years. Now and I can take you back to Alvarez, or I can take you back to several coaches. When programs are down, it takes you a while to get it going. Now that doesn't mean you're going to get it going, but at the very least, it's going to take that time. And Illinois has got to face another tough season next year. The quarterback situation is up for grabs. The offensive line situation is going to be young still. Defensively, they're replacing some guys that are gone. And we've had 9 guys leave the program in the last several weeks. And there are all kinds of reasons why that's happening, some of which are the coaches really don't care, that they don't want guys back that aren't going to play, in their view.
And you mentioned getting quality players. I don't know anything about this DB from California that they got a commitment from. His name is Delano Ware. He makes number 14 among the commitments.
Back up to 14.
And he is a two-star player. And when you see some of the other teams that are recruiting him, that were recruiting him, it's hard to get excited, but you got to have numbers as well.
Yeah, well, they'd like to get up to 25 because I think they had 23 openings as of last week, and I assume that by the time this all – and by the way, they can sign again in February, and I imagine by February we'll have 25 because probably two more guys will leave the team between now and then. And the talent level, we have one class, this freshman class now, that'll be sophomores next year, looks solid. And they did have some guys that weren't highly rated that turned out pretty good on that squad. But you can't do that consistently. You can't find players that nobody knows about and be very successful over time.
Let's go to the phones for Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
We're doing great. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, here's a weird question I want to throw to you about, and let me change direction, basketball-wise.
Okay.
A fifth-year redshirt that may be worth looking at, maybe would come to Illinois next year. So, because fifth-year redshirts, they can immediately play the next season, right?
Yeah.
How about a kid from Illinois that plays at Wisconsin? And it doesn't look like the Badgers are going to be able to put together competitive years the next two seasons. I'm serious.
Well, don't be serious. There's no way Haas is coming. I mean, Hap is coming.
I don't know. It's worth following because he was a kid growing up that his favorite team. I'm calling from Western Illinois. I know his favorite team growing up was that Darren Williams, D. Brown team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's out of the question.
That'd be nice.
What I'm asking, because how that works, you can't, like Illinois can recruit, I understand high school players, but you can't have any contact with trying to recruit a fifth-year senior, right? Is that right?
Well, I think that a lot of them declare and are actually recruited. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the fifth-year guys that want to leave, they can – Well, you can go. You can find his best friend and talk to his best friend and find out what he wants to do. I mean,
So I see what you're saying. They can't talk to him per se, but they can.
Well, you wouldn't want to. No,
I'm telling you that is a story that I think is worth following. Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't think that's out of the question.
Okay. We'll follow it, Jim.
I'd like to see it, because what would that mean if Illinois got a low post presence like him next year with the guys they got coming back?
They'd be better.
That'd be a big help. That'd be a big help.
Thanks, Lawrence.
And we go to Carl. Hi, Carl.
Hi. Hey, this is the first time I've ever called your program ever. Well, I'm really excited.
We are, too. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Well, anyway, there's a coach in St. Joe. I saw him. I know this is cross country, but he gave a talk at Eastern one year to class. What if you guys had done this all summer long? What if next summer you do all this? That means work out and get your grades up and a lot of other things you do in your life. What if? What would the team look like? Well, I can say that about this year's team. I can say that about the coaching staff, what if. But there is a lot of stuff that we do have that maybe a lot of other schools, we have grace. We have good grace for somebody picking out Josh Whitman, somebody picking out the president of the university, somebody saying we're not going to put up with people being mean to women. Sometimes we want things to happen right away, but it ain't going to happen right away. It's going to happen when we're ready for it. And I think that's what all the teams that Illini are seeing, because, you know, and also I think it's not just Illini teams, it's all the other people that have other things going on in town. But I think things are getting better, just not at the pace we went to. We just have to keep up the faith, and this is the season to recognize grace because it's out there.
Keep the faith.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Appreciate it. I was happy to hear President Killeen say the other day that we're not going to put up with people that interrupt other people trying to make a speech. And maybe he's taking taking a little guideline from University of Chicago president who said that's what we're going to do. We're going to arrest him. And so we'll see. But anyway, it was a nice, positive statement from the president just a couple of days ago. It is 10:32. We have some other callers waiting, but it is time for the news headlines with Brian Barnhart. We'll be back after that with more of our Monday morning quarterbacking. We're back on our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here. And Charlie is next. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
We're good. How about you?
I just wanted to call and tell you about football attendance from my time and show you how things a lot of things have changed, and yet some of it hasn't. I know when I was a freshman here in 51, that was when we had the great team and won the Rose Bowl and, you know, and had some national championship recognition. I looked at the numbers. We averaged slightly under 60,000 that year for home attendance. And the stadium was, you know, set a little under, the capacity was a little under 72,000. And then my junior year, we tied for the conference with Caroline, that team, and averaged probably under 55,000 for the season. So, but in those days, the student body was 18,000 or thereabouts, and we had much better support by the students. There's a lot more students coming than proportionally than there are today.
That's because you were winning, Charlie.
I know. It helps.
Well, how about in the 1980s? The 80s belong to the Illini. Neil Stoner's a famous statement. All those consecutive sellouts.
Yeah, well, they were also painting the town with tickets too. I think a little bit. But,
well, they of course they get to the final 5,000 or so. Why not?
Yeah. Sure, I understand, but it's always been we've been a tough draw, I think, because of the distance factor, and you get them down for Chicago when you win. That's for sure.
Well, there are plenty of other universities that are in, you know, towns this size that do well.
I don't know that.
And they do well because they win.
Well, that's right. That's no cure but that.
Hey, thank you, Charlie. Good to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. And a note from Roy. Everyone is taking the high road on the foul calling in the UNLV game. With 8 minutes to go, we had four players that had four fouls. At that point, it pretty much was out the window. You have to let them have their way at that point in fear of fouling out. Not saying we don't foul because we are aggressive as we play, and it's going to happen. I don't for one second believe that though we foul them, we didn't foul them to that extent. The officials spotted UNLV 30 points in that game with the atrocious officiating. We outplayed them in every other aspect of the game, just as really disappointing for those young guys who played so hard to have a game stolen from you.
I don't believe it, but that's okay. A lot of people believe the officiating lost the game. I think every game that's played, there's always complaints about officiating.
It's us because it's our games because that's the ones we know the most about and the ones that we see and so forth. But, you know, as you read about other games or happen to catch them on the television or something, it's seems to me to be happening everywhere. I don't know what.
You mean excessive fouling?
Well, yeah, more fouls than usual.
Yeah, seems that way, doesn't it?
It does. And some of it has to do with the screening fouls, which seem to be happening all the time.
I didn't think that the officials called any phantom fouls on Illinois. I shouldn't say any, but I watched the whole game. I watched it close, and I thought they called fouls when Illinois fouled. What'd you think? Am I off base there?
No, not really. We do a lot of fouling, and I so sometimes, you know, you say, caller earlier said when a guy drives down the lane, you should not let him score a layup. Well, I can buy that too. But what if you get beat, and the guy is a step ahead of you? What if you just put your arms back and let him make the layup, and you don't commit any fouls, because he's gonna get free throws anyway. He might get a basket and a free throw. I don't know. We commit a lot of fouls.
The game can't be officiated. If we just once I accept that, I'm okay with it for the rest of my life. I just people can say whatever they want to say, but the game can't be officiated. And I don't know. If a player has the ability to drive the basketball, he's going to get fouls all night long.
Almost lost Lauren just a few moments ago when Brian talked about the Bitcoin and the numbers. He ran out of here. I thought he was going to call his broker or somebody.
I couldn't even explain to you what Bitcoins are. I've been reading about them, but I don't understand it. There's a lot about it on that internet I don't understand. I can read it, and I still don't understand.
But we do know about the Bitcoins that some people that got in on it early on.
Oh, man.
Made a little money, huh?
Ooh.
And let's go to Danny. Hi, Danny.
Morning, guys. Couple questions.
Okay.
First of all, I haven't been able to get an update on LeRon Black's injury.
There isn't any. Just talked to Kent Brown this morning and got a message from him, and they're going to analyze what the problem is. It's some kind of an elbow injury, and we'll get a report later in the day.
Okay. Second question for Lauren. Doesn't the Yankees look like the 61 Murder Row with Mantle and Maris now?
They look like Ruth and Gehrig. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. That's a fair comparison.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, they're going to hit a million homers.
All right, too bad we couldn't get them for the Cardinals. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Cardinals made as good an offer as they could.
Yeah, maybe the best offer for all we know in terms of talent. They were going to give up Walk, it sounded like, and a pitcher. And so I think there's a concern among superstars now we're seeing that they don't want to play in St. Louis. That's all I can tell you. I don't know why. I mean, the Cardinals have had good teams. They have great support. They have good fans. Holiday loved it there. Even Holiday went to the Yankees, and he said that Stanton should go to St. Louis.
We'll take a break here. We come right back. It's 10:45 here on our Monday morning quarterback session. And we were wondering there how much the Yankees are going to be paying players this year with Stanton's $25 million. What else you got?
Well, they've got six players who are receiving at least $11.5 million. They go $25 million for Stanton, Tanaka's 22, and then 21, 20, 13, 13, 11. Their totals is going to be at least $250 million, and they haven't had to reach any kind of a major arrangement with Judge yet, as far as I know, in the long term. I'm not sure what Judge's status is, but he was a rookie last year.
And so he made the rookie wages last year.
Well, I guess. I don't have it. I assume he did. But you've got guys like Brian McCann, who's getting $5.5 million. But, Jim, when you're paying over $200 million in salary, that's a bunch. I mean, the Dodgers paid $248 a year ago, $248 million, and they're trying to cut back. That's probably why they didn't get fully engaged with Stanton. I don't know, but I think they're trying to reduce their salary somewhat. But these payroll numbers are scary. The Yankees are, off the charts. Chapman's getting $20 million just to pitch one inning in relief.
And sometimes not so well.
Well,
he was certainly off and on this past year with the Yankees. Did the Cubs get involved with Stanton at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Be interesting
to
see.
The Cubs have got a little problem, and they've got a lot of talent that's going to have to be paid at a future date.
Mm-hmm.
In the next few years, some of these guys are going to have to, they're going to have to divvy up.
They got a bunch of guys that are 22 years old.
they got some young ones.
You know, the Faith and Law Office invite you to attend their free seminar, The 7 Secrets You Need to Know to Protect Your Home, Your Assets, and Your Family from the Cost of Long-Term Care. Learn about the law that completely changes the rules and much more, Wednesday, December the 13th. That's at 1:30 at the I Hotel. Call the Facer Law Office at 337-1111 to reserve your spot. 337-1111. Ask about the book co-authored by elder law attorney Thorpe Facer, Protect Your Family, Don't Write a Blank Check to the Nursing Home.
Jim, you asked about Judge a moment ago. He got $507,000. So he's getting $500,000 and Stanton's getting $25 million. They'll be batting back to back. But he's a rookie and he'll get his. Don't worry. He'll be paid in time.
And Bill in San Jose, California says, when 20% of your students are from China and probably have no clue about football, that's 1 in 5 students you have little chance of getting to go to a game. That's not helping football attendance now or in the future. And CJ says, the Illini hockey is extremely exciting right now. When it goes Big Ten with the NCAA involved, the program will be ruined and go the way of football, etc. That's my opinion, says CJ.
Well, we won't worry about hockey until somebody comes up, until they find $100 million somewhere. It'll take that to pull it off. And remember, when you do that, you also have to provide another, at least one more sport for women, which is again costly, because the women's sports basically don't pay for themselves. Back, none of the sports pay for themselves except football and basketball, men's basketball and football. Those are the only two sports that make money.
I was surprised the other day when I heard there was AD was going to have a press conference, and it was going to be the word got around it was going to be about improvements of facilities and so forth. I thought for sure it was going to be a building that would be replacing Huff, so to speak, a building that where you could play volleyball and gymnastics and all that. That building has been on the drawing board for a real long time. And
it just comes down to where the donor wants to spend his money.
Well, I understand
if
that.
If we can find a donor that wanted to contribute to Olympic sports, why, they do it because the university wants Huff. They built onto Huff already, and they want that building. But so far, the athletics is part of it.
And very quickly, they're going to run out of parking space.
Oh, boy.
That's going to be a problem for volleyball especially. I think volleyball probably outdraws the rest of those, but it's hard to find a place to park now when you go to a volleyball match, especially if it's a big one. And they're going to build a building on that site. And
State Farm Center just a little too far away. I mean, but I bet you there'll be some arrangements with buses taking you back and forth for if you want to park there, don't you think? Is that a possibility?
Oh, sure, that's a possibility. That'd be the last thing I would ever do, is get on one of those buses and have to wait until to leave the game, to leave the match. Now you can leave whenever you want to. Do you have to wait for a bus? I don't know, but it'll take a lot of buses, too.
In good weather, it is walking distance, you might say. I mean, it's a little far, but you could walk it.
Ed's giving me a signal. We need to take our final break. Coming right back. Our time is up here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.